Really don't even understand how that's legal. I know we're not going to really go down this rabbit hole, but you know what? Look, man, it's one thing to have a sponsor. Lord knows we have sponsors. We have gambling. That's fine. But for the entire network to be run by them, that doesn't make sense. Like, I do a podcast where we have a direct contract with FanDuel. They don't run our pod. Mm-hmm. They don't tell us what to talk about. We do what we do. The idea that Tiger Baseball could be on FanDuel TV or whatever it is, like, dude, like, where does it end?
There's a lot of things that you're not going to like. You're really not going to like what I'm about to say. But no, the lines are so blurred now that there are no lines.
I agree with that.
It's just, you know what?
Like, if you listen to a radio show and we do picks, it's one thing. But, like, when I turn on a baseball game, you know what I don't need in the bottom of the fourth? I also don't need these ridiculous interviews where the managers never say anything. But I don't need a check-in on the live same-game parlay that some studio guy put out there. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to watch the game.
Yeah, but it's for all the sports. Yeah, you're right. But the lines are blurred where you don't know what's actually sports, what's news, what's entertainment. It's just one thing, all-encompassing.
Can you read the Alan Haller quotes before I get to the phones? We're having a conversation. If you guys want to talk Lions, Odyssey.com Rewind, we're going to get back into it in the five. We've asked a question about college football. A, what is success for Michigan or Michigan State this year? Is success even available? But the other thing is, if you're less passionate about college football, who's to blame? Who or what is to blame? Now, Rico, you said Alan Haller spoke. We heard Jeremy Otto. Yeah. By the way, shout out Jeremy wearing baseball pants to do his update. Very proud of you.
I did not even see that.
But please, what did Alan Haller have to say? I want to make sure I get this right before I criticize him.
Alan Haller spoke to Tony Paul in Detroit News. Quote, I mean, I'm a fan of a few primetime games, but I'll admit I'm a fan too. You've got people coming from at least a four-hour radius, and it can be very, very long days. It's a challenge. People wonder how much input that I have. I don't have much, if any. And finally, another quote that he said, I do want to play our fair share. However, let's spread it out a little bit, move on to other schools. Basically, MSU is going to play 7 night games. And it kind of goes to what you said, where you were invited to a night game. And he's saying, I get it. People have come from a four-hour radius. You don't want to be headed home at 11:30 at night, knowing three thirty, you're not gonna get home till like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Not everybody's a psychopath like me and just drive in the middle of the night.
No, but you're fine. Is that like? Look, I think about college football and sports in general. Look, college football's always been to me a way safer space to take a kid to a game than the NFL. NFL fans are animals, but like,
yeah,
you're not.
I'm sorry. Don't know if you saw the Ravens fan who was walking down the street.
I only learned about it after he was fired from his job, and then attached in the article was the video. Yeah, I mean, that's every week at an NFL game.
Yeah, went looking for a Commanders fan and just punched out these two little guys. It was half his size.
But no, like 7 night games for a team. Like, look, if you are an LSU fan, it is an established tradition at LSU, and it's too damn hot.
Right.
No, you're playing Saturday night in Death Valley. Yeah. They have a deal with the networks. Don't you dare put us on at 11 in the morning. We'll do it the week of Thanksgiving. Yeah. That's it.
Because everybody will die.
This is different.
Yeah.
I don't like MSU being on at night. And why? Better games are on. I just come from a world where if you're on at noon, it means you don't matter. I like the noontime slot. 3:30 means this is a damn good game. Mm-hmm. 8 o'clock was a great game. Now, fugazi.
I agree. The night games in college football needs to be something that's earned. It needs to be like Ohio State and Oregon deserve that spot. I was looking forward to that all day.
LSU Ole Miss deserve the spot.
MSU does not deserve that spot right now. And I guess the thing is this, Michigan State is limited to 5 night games a season in conference. But that doesn't include the Friday night game, the tradition of playing, you know, Labor Day. And then you have no control over what happens in the non-conference. So the Boston College game was out of their control too, which ends up being 7.
It's ridiculous. But if you're not passionate about college football, is that something? It's all available to you. But it's simple. There's a different vibe this fall. And this isn't the first time that Michigan hasn't been good or the first time that State hasn't been good. There's a different vibe on this show with the conversation about college football, your participation in it, who or what is to blame for your apathy? And it could be your program, not mad at it. Could be the networks. Could be NIL. I don't know. You tell me.
I got something for that.
Let me hear it.
And I think it's indirectly. I don't think that they people realize what it was, but the apathy is the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are so good that you now focus on Sunday. Now focus on Super Bowls, not winning college games, not going to a bowl game, the ultimate bowl game, which is the Super Bowl. For decades, the Lions game was just something that you did on Sunday to kind of either celebrate what happened on Saturday or try to forget about what happened on Saturday. Now, the Lions have taken over. Now, I don't think they planned on this, but because they are so good right now, that's where your main focus is. College has become the JV sport.
I like that. That's actually very good. And people only have so much discretionary time and income to invest in sport. Oh, that's the Lions being good and our college team's not. David, I'll tell you what I'll do. Let me get to at least a call. We'll get to ticket text next segment. All right, let's go to Joe 97.1. Joe, how you doing, buddy?
Hey guys, I've been on hold for close to an hour, and you both just said what I wanted to say.
Why? Sorry, man.
There's only so much bandwidth for caring about your sports teams, and when Michigan is meh, Michigan State is worse. The Lions are partly to blame because fans have a realistic chance of hoping that their rooting is going to pay off in a winner. Success is relative for Michigan State. If they go 6-6, it's a huge success. If Michigan goes 8-4, that's moderate success for them because they'll have beaten four ranked teams. But other than that, the people care about the Lions. They'll watch the other stuff because it's on, but there's only so much room in your head to really give a hoot about sports and football. And this is the year that it's a perfect storm for fans saying, I don't care. Michigan won it last year. No big deal. They can be bad, but you better get a quarterback next year. And for MSU, go to a bowl. That'll make me happy. And play an afternoon game once in a while.
I know. I mean, the night game thing starts to really bug you, Joe. I'll be honest. But I'm not going to make it the biggest problem. But was I excited to watch MSU on a Friday night? No, absolutely not. Am I excited to have my Saturday night taken up by this nonsense? No. It's just getting old. But everyone's doing it, right? I mean, it just feels like, again, the conference sold their soul to the devil. And it's like, why is Michigan State the school paying the biggest price? Why the hell is MSU on at night? Like, that's a good thing.
I was telling Jeremy, maybe their name has just enough of a draw. Team's not great. Don't get me wrong. But the name has enough draw that people know the brand and they're like, oh, it's Michigan State. They're going to end up losing. But, yeah, at least Allen is coming out saying, hey, Big Ten, schedule somebody else. We don't want to do this next year. We don't want to be on an 8 o'clock every night.
248-539-9797. We'll get your calls, catch up with ticket text. And we do have an update on Tom Brady. Some interesting things he can't do as a part owner of an NFL team. We'll talk about that as well. 97.1. All right, I want to get to the people. David, we'll go ticket text, second half of the segment. We got some Tom Brady do's and don'ts at the bottom of the hour. And then Lions. What if there's a target they've already reached out to? Is it enough for you to feel we're back on track for the Super Bowl in the post-Aiden era? We'll do it at 5. Let's go to Eli, 97.1. Hi, Eli. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How about yourself?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
First of all, I love the show. But, yeah, man, I'd like to answer both the apathy and the success question.
Sure.
I'm a big Michigan fan, but, you know, it's kind of haven't felt like it the last couple weeks. I went to week one against Fresno thinking they were going to blow him out of the water and I was going to watch the new quarterback do something good, but you just looked dead out there and I knew Texas was going to be awful. So I've just kind of been apathetic since then. Mm-hmm. Not to mention my entire team went away. And you know, it's the hangover and not the times. My thunder got stolen regarding the Lions and the Tigers. Like,
sure.
I only have so much time, you know? So, and for me, success is always beating Ohio, but that's definitely not happening. So I guess at this point, it's just beating Ohio and I don't know, seeing a good quarterback play.
See, I think you're hitting on something, Eli, and it resonates with me, is that people lose sight of sports are an entertainment product. And in the absence of being entertained, there's really no reason to watch. That's just the bottom line in it, right? So if you're watching your team and it's not entertaining, you do not play entertaining football or any sport, then you ask yourself, why am I watching? Out of some morbid loyalty or something? Like, it's not like if you don't watch, or if you do, they're going to pay your mortgage. Like, so Eli, it resonates with me. It's like MSU, if I didn't have this job, I wouldn't watch a single snap of Michigan State football this fall. It is not an entertaining product. It is not redeeming. So I hear you.
Yeah, man. It's exactly how I feel. Like, watched every game last year on the edge of my seat the last couple years, but the second I saw the quality of play,
yep,
I just don't feel motivated. Like, I'll still watch, but it's not in priority.
Right, and I mean, Rico, to Eli's point, like, I don't dog anybody who says, no, I haven't watched the Pistons in 10 years. What reason have they given you?
Correct. If you're not winning, you're not entertaining, I got better things that I could do with that day. And I don't get angry. It's just like, but there are certain people who, hey, I can't miss a Pistons game. All right, good for you. You found time in your schedule to watch that.
You should do a documentary about those people. I'd love to understand where their lives are at. Let's go to Nate, 97.1. Nate, what's going on, man?
How's it going, gentlemen?
Good, hey, Nate. What's up?
I think the apathy for college football comes in like two waves. Like, nationally, the game's just not the same. Like, before the 12-team playoff, even during the 14 playoff era, you could watch games and your team was bad against like a rival, knowing that if you win, you're probably derailing their season.
Yep.
Now, like you guys touched on earlier, if you lose, you can lose two games and still make the playoffs if you're a really good team, like Ohio State. Like, I'm a Michigan fan. This year, I'm not going to watch Michigan-Ohio State being like, oh, if we beat them, their season's derailed. We're going to knock them out of the Big Ten championship, knock them out of the playoffs. They're just going to speed bump over. Yeah, you get 365 days of bragging.
Nate, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the fact is there is a scenario they don't even need the game.
Right.
Think about that.
Well, and let me add to that. There's a scenario where it may be advantageous that Ohio State gets a week off and somebody else can go to Indy and win the Big Ten. We're okay because we'll get a game in Columbus rather than having a bye.
To Nate's point, it bothered me Saturday night that Ohio State, you're not happy you lost, but there's no penalty. When Will Howard blew that game, the old way of college football, guys like Nate and I are going, oh my God, your season ended on that. Not anymore.
Exactly.
You mean the old way before the conference championship games? Because I was thinking, even so, I'm like, you two will just meet, kind of like Oregon and Washington. You'll meet again in a few weeks.
Think about how, I mean, Nate, I don't, now this is where Rico's going to laugh in my face, Nate. So this might just be you and I. But like, think about how poorly thought out this was. Army and Navy might play back-to-back weeks this year because they're both in the American Conference and they're going to meet in the American Championship game and then a week later go play again.
Yeah, it completely takes that whole loss for that game, that whole – I can't think of the word. I can't think of the word right now.
The stakes have been
removed. It takes
the
luster away because here's what – because you know what, Nate? That was supposed to be Michigan and Ohio State at the beginning with the leaders and the legends. They were going to play the final week, and then they were going to play the next week after, and people were looking forward to that.
I'm not. Like, any – remember, what was it? It was LSU and – was it LSU-Bama part two? And they played for the national title, and the game was awful. You don't want to do redos. Like in the NFL, I'm conditioned to it. Hey, Chiefs and Ravens played to open the year, and here they are in the AFC title. But what you don't see is back-to-back weeks. Mm-hmm. That's not what I want.
Right, I don't think anybody saw Army and Navy both being good.
I'm begging you to watch one Army game. They're a wagon. They're explosive. You'll love it. They throw the ball. You're going to love
it. Wait. Are they allowed?
Bro, another 55-yard passing touchdown this past week.
Was that part of the Treaty of Versailles?
Yes.
Okay.
It was part of Louisiana Purchase. Look, dailies are – I promise you, Navy and Army, here's when you watch them. Watch them against Notre Dame. Yes. I will guarantee free lunch for a month to this radio show. One of Army or Navy's beating Notre Dame.
Really?
Straight up. I promise. They're good, man.
You want to double down on the one you lost?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine. I'll just buy you lunch till Christmas. Whatever. Can't say the words in America? The next line. Yeah. No. If you've seen the movie. I mean, we could we play that? I don't think so.
I always stop it right there. So
probably,
I don't know.
It's probably best. Let's go to Ken, 97.1. Kenny, what's up?
Hey, I love the historical references, Treaty of Versailles. I have to agree regarding the apathy that the Lions do command a lot of attention right now. But another theory of mine is that people are naturally resistant to too much change. Change is not good. Change leads to uncertainty. And there's just too much change in college football right now. There's the portal. There's the expansion of the conference. There's the night games. There's changes in coaching staff. Then there's the scandals with the Michigan and MSU. It's too much. It's too much change. Like, and that leads to uncertainty, and that leads to questions. Who's coaching? Who's on the team? Who are they playing? When are they playing? I mean, who knows? And that just causes tune out and turn off. That's my thought on the whole thing.
I think look, for a long time, college football was like a comfortable pair of pants. You know, you always knew they were there for you when the weather got a little chilly and it was time to wear the pants again. It was a warm blanket. Now, I don't recognize anything in this closet. I don't know what world I'm in. Yeah. And again, and I know, and Ken, I'm not trying to start a fight, but you'll never be able to sell me on ACC matchup Cal at Miami. What? That's an odd.
I gotta agree with you, Mike.
That's absurd. Thank you. Thank you, Ken.
Thanks, man. And now here's the thing. Let's take this full circle. Let's play a little bit of a game.
Okay.
We briefly talked about the Big Ten and the SEC thinking about maybe playing some games, getting together and forming like this conference.
Yeah.
But it's not really a conference.
Yet.
I think in the end, everybody gets what they want. TV gets what they want. The conferences get what they want. And you, the fans, will get what you want because, how can we do this? You know, how about all you teams on the West Coast? Why don't you guys just all play each other in a division? Why don't you teams in the Midwest play each other in a division? Well, we'll call that the Big Ten. We'll call yours the Pac-10. We'll call yours the SEC. We'll call yours the East Coast. And you get all your conferences back. It's just under new management.
David's disgusted.
So now it's the NFL. That's it's what the he just AFC described. West. What are we doing
no,
here?
No, he's not wrong in he's what not. He's describing, and you're not wrong in calling what he's describing the NFL. You're both right.
It's crazy.
No, but it's nothing I want.
I gave you back the Pac-12. I gave you back just the Big Ten, the SEC and the ACC.
USC and Washington. Yes. You're back
you
over
what?
There.
How about you guys save the flight money? You guys just play each other out there. And we're going to introduce you to these two cute
Stanford.
Little girls called Arizona and Arizona State. And, yeah, and their cousins are Cal and Stanford. You all are going to play together. You get everything that you want, really.
Until you wake up and realize as a Michigan State fan that you're Vanderbilt. It just sounds wonderful until you're saying anchors down in your sleep.
Yeah, no, you're South Carolina.
You have a scoreboard on a crane. You wake up to that.
See, there you go. You're South Carolina. Now you can do the cock-a thing.
The cock-a-boosh. Here's the thing. No. Now, once again, it doesn't mean your team's going to win, but let's face it. They haven't been winning since 10 years from now. It was 2015. So...
I know, what a blessing.
You had the blip in 17, you had the blip in 21.
Yeah, but ain't no blips now. There's just bloops.
Blips
it's
are coming.
Bad. This is all bloopers.
Give Jonathan a little time.
I can't when you got Cignetti undefeated. Yeah. I know they didn't play a hard schedule. Look, man, I'm fragile. Just leave it alone, please. What do you want me to say? I'm just happy to watch Georgia and Texas. All right. That's all I got. And I'm actually rooting for Georgia. It's sick.
Turn off his stuff. I don't even think that's gonna be a good game.
What do you mean,
Rico? I said turn off his stuff.
What is that supposed to mean?
He wasn't supposed to hear that.
Rico's hitting the whoopee cushion over there.
All right, David on the ticket text, and then I want to update you. Tom Brady's bid to be a minority owner in the Raiders and what it means for his broadcasting career. Well, it should be over is what it means. But David, go ahead.
Says, remember, MSU also gave away a home game to play at Ford Field. Shaking my head, it's all stupid in college football right now. Life is too busy to enjoy Saturdays and Sundays for football. And right now the Lions are king. So, yes, I'm going to enjoy Sundays.
I mean, it's hard to argue that with the Lions being the best they've ever been in their 70 years, you do make choices. But I have always, there's always been a deep passion in Metro Detroit for college football. And it is, I don't know, we're in a very weird space right now. Maybe the Lions are the answer.
Or this one. The problem with college football is 100% NIL. You don't know the players, and if you learn them, they're gone the next year. They need a salary cap and a contract.
The contract's the biggest thing. I don't think you're ever going to see a salary cap. That would have to be collectively bargained. That's a labor issue. But you do need some level of two-way commitment. Like, look, even if it's just, I can't ask for multiple years, but can I just, once I pay you, can you STFU and just go to spring practice? We're not doing this again tomorrow morning.
Yep, I'm 100% in agreement with that. I do think that the NIL thing for a lot of people is a little bit lazy because I think it's, and maybe I'm oversimplifying. If your team is winning, like, I don't think Kenny cares about the NIL or what's going on in Georgia. He doesn't. Why? His team wins.
But he's one of like four.
No, I'm saying, but if you're like, if you're an Oregon fan, you're an Ohio State fan, okay, we're paying a bunch of, your team is winning. You're fine with it.
But outside of, okay, Texas, Kenny, Oregon, Ohio State, like there's
the Big
like
10. Not the Big Ten Conference. I mean, like the top 10
teams. I feel like then there's 124 of us who are like, why are we even here? You know what I mean? Like when you're these other programs, you just think about it. Ole Miss, who spends a metric ton of money, got their running back poached. Quinshon Jenkins, Alabama. Alabama lost Caleb Downs. Like it's almost like, huh?
Nobody's safe.
I don't know.
I understand the whole musical chair thing, but it is turning more and more like the NFL.
Can't we get it where you can do deals. It once? You can transfer once. That's it. No more. If I have to read about another kid who's played at four schools in 4 years, my head's going to explode.
See, that's not even the one that gets me. The one that gets me is the kid who early enrolls and he's at another school. He went there.
Right.
He spent the spring and now he's someplace else. Or the proctor, the tackle, who left Alabama, went to Iowa for a weekend, and then went back to Alabama.
The other one is, it should not be allowed to quit on your team. There is no world where you get to pick your red shirt. That is not how this works.
The other things, Mike, we may be able to legislate. That's one because of the nature of football.
I know.
I hurt my toe. I think it's broken.
Yeah. Great. You're Davante Adams. Congratulations.
Yeah. What about his hamstring? What happened to that?
Let me give you the Tom Brady rules. Yeah. Hamstring looked good today, didn't it? Here are the Brady rules now that his bid has been accepted to be a minority owner in the Raiders. All I want the three of you to do is tell me, yes or no, should Tom Brady immediately be removed from the broadcast booth? Now, that's before we get to the fact he's a turd. He's awful. Tom Brady will not be permitted to set foot in team facilities. He will not be permitted to attend a practice of any kind. He will not be permitted to attend broadcast production meetings, either in person or virtually. What those are, guys. You've heard the announcers, hey, when we were talking to coach this week, when we were at practice, when we sat down, and teams will drop dimes on you for the broadcast. Like, hey, don't use this before. Here's a little something for the game. Boop, bop, beep, bop, boop. Not allowed to do that. He's subject to the NFL's gambling policy. Don't care about that. You shouldn't have announcers gambling on games. Prohibited from criticizing game officials and any NFL team. And subject to the NFL's anti-tampering policy. Once again, don't really care about that. Straight, direct answer from the three of you. Leave out the fact this dude is garbage. But
what?
Wait.
So let's just say Lamar Jackson, MVP, but he has a game where he throws four picks. Two are pick sixes. He can't say, Lamar's having an awful day today. My goodness, how many more picks you're going to throw?
Before you sit him down. Bad job by the Ravens. Can't do it.
Okay.
How about the fact he can't do the job? He can't attend production meetings.
That's the one that bothers me the most, is preparation for being on the air. He can't even prepare to do his job, let alone he stinks at it.
So you're saying he should be gone?
I'm out.
Like, if you're Fox, wait, we were paying you $350 million that you were going to be decent at this. You're not decent. Now you can't even do the things you need to do to be decent. Free Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen on line 11.
David, should he be removed?
Yes, he should be removed. And of course, I'm not a lawyer here.
I've heard.
But this has to be some sort of breach of contract. Is when they first signed him, remember, they signed him before he ever started. There was no plans of him ever becoming an owner or part owner of a team. Now you can't do what we hired you to do.
You know what, David? That makes sense on the surface, but this didn't happen in a vacuum.
I know.
So he probably told him and held him hostage. If you want, you know, there's a chance I may buy an NFL team. Hey, Tom, that's okay, because we just want you to do broadcasting.
I'm just trying to get him out, okay? Because he shouldn't be there.
Let's be real. He should be gone because you cannot do your job. You can't sit there and on a blown call, like in that Jets game, when it was a quarterback roughing the quarterback, and say, that's probably a good call. No, it wasn't. We all, even Aaron Rodgers got up and said, that was a bleep call. Sorry, they got you on that. But he can't say, man, that was the worst call I've seen here. Hey, golf clap. Shout out to refs. They do a great job.
It would be like sitting here amidst one of the biggest cheating scandals ever and saying there was no competitive advantage.
And there's the flag.
That was naughty. I'm sorry. Ooh. My bad.
That's your warning.
Okay. That's my mulligan.
Well, soccer. That's your yellow card.
No, 2-minute timeout.
Whoops.
Right. I just hate to see it.